a well-known medrash. The medrash tells us at the beginning of the parsha, when the Torah tells us va'asu aron, that we should make the aron. Why is it by all of the other kelim it says vasisa in the singular, and in the aron it says vasu in the plural? So you know the answer, right? What's the answer? The aron represents Torah, and everyone's got to have a chiluk, right? So says the medrash Amar Rabbi Dovid Shalom. Let everybody come and be engaged with making the Aron, because everybody has a chelik in Torah, right? Reminiscent of the Gemara in Kiddushin, Shishim Riba Osios Yesh B'Torah, that there are 600,000 letters in the Torah, which of course there are not, but it's speaking poetically, meaning that every Jew, there are 600,000 is the number that we use. Since at the birth of the nation, that's how many Jews there were. So that's the number that we use to represent Klal Yisrael. So that's the Gemara's way of saying that every Jew has a chelek in Torah. And that's what the I think the Zohar says, that Yisrael is Rashi Tevis, Yeshishim Ribo, Siyas Torah. So great, a beautiful idea. The Aron represents Torah. Everyone should have a chelek in Torah. It explains beautifully why the Aron is said in plural. Everybody's got to do it. Then the Medrash goes on to say, Dover Achim. Another interpretation, another answer. Ooh, there's a second answer. So says the Medrash, Va'asu Aron Maksiv Lamala. What does it say right before it says Va'asu Aron? It says Va'asu Li Mikdash. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, Atem Tzoni Va'ani Roeh. You are my shepherd, you are my sheep, and I am your shepherd. Shneamar Kodesh Pasuk. So what should you do? You should make sure that the shepherd has where to stay. You have to build a little hut, a little something, a little place for the shepherd to stay so that he can properly guard his sheep. That's why it says Vasuli Mikdash, because the Mikdash represents a Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence amongst his sheep. Then the Ribbono Shel Olam says, and not only that, not only am I your shepherd and you my sheep, Atem Kerem, you are a vineyard, and Va'ani Shomer, and I am the guardian of that vineyard. Shenemar Asusuka L'Shomer Shishmor Eschem. Then, therefore, the guardian of the vineyard needs a place to stay, so you need to build a booth, a hut, so the guardian of the vineyard can watch his vineyard. And not only that, Atem Bani, Va'ani Avichem, you are children, and I am your father. Shenemar Banim Atem Hashem Elokechem, Va'ani Avichem, Shenemar Ki Yisru Yisrael La'av. It's always beautiful when a father can visit his children, the children can visit the father. So you have to make a bayis for the av. You have to make a special place in your house or a special house for the parents when they come visit. And my kids in my house, we have a guest room. You ask them, what room is that? They say, that's Bobby and Zaidi's room. Bobby and Zaidi don't live in that room. Bobby and Zaidi live in Edison, New Jersey. They live some of the year in Florida. But that's Bobby and Zaidi's room, because that's what you do. You build a place, if you can, for the Av, that the Av should be able to come and visit. So the Ribbono Shel Olam says, you want to do right by your father, by the Ribbono Shel Olam, you got to build a house for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So a number of questions that emerge. We get the idea. The Ribbono Shel Olam is there to guard us. We need to build a place for him. Why does he have to say three times in three different ways? I am your shepherd. Okay, we'll build you a house. I am your shomer hakerem. Okay, we'll build you a house. I am your father. Okay, we'll build you a house. Meaning, in what way is the house different for a shepherd, for a shomer hakerem, and for a father, for his children? And not only that, it's easy to lose sight of how the measure started. What was the kasha the measure started with? What was the kasha? What? Vasu Aron. Why does it say Vasu by the Aron, right? So we gave an answer, because everyone should be engaged in Torah. Then we say, Dover Acher. What's Dover Acher supposed to be? Another answer on the Aron. And what's the Dover Acher actually on? Vasu Mikdash. Vasu Mikdash. Where's the second answer for the Aron? It said Dover Acher. It gave us a beautiful drush about the shepherd and the Shomer HaKerem, and nothing about the actual Aron. And when you think about the Kelim and the Mikdash in general, and this is like one of those questions they ask every single year, when you think about the Kelim and the Mikdash in general, They each have a purpose, a meaning, they represent something, and you know, they're Gimel Amudei Olam, there's Torah, Avoda, Gemilas Chasadim, and therefore in the Mishkan we had, and in the Mikdash we had, that which represents Torah, Avoda, and Gemilas Chasadim. That's what many of the Rishonim already point out, that Avoda is of course the Mizbeach, Gemilas Chasadim is the Shulchan, Torah, the Menorah. And where does that leave the Aron? Why do I need two different kelim to represent Torah? What's the Aron about? Isn't the Aron the most important kli in the Mikdash? And the answer probably is that the Medrash is indeed offering a second answer of why it says Vasu by the Aron. Vasu is used by the Aron because it's used by the Mishkan. That's the point. It is because it's used by the Mishkan. It demonstrates the Aron is not one of the kelim of the Mishkan. The Aron is what makes the Mishkan. You know what we call the Mishkan? The Mishkan Ha'edus. You know what else is called Ha'edus? The Luchos Ha'edus. Where are the Luchos? In the Aron. The Aron is what gives the Mishkan its status. Its status as a Mishkan. And therefore, it's the very source of Kedushas HaMikdash. Without the Aron, there is no Mikdash. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, once you understand the Aron Mikdash relationship, you should understand that that relationship will appear on three different levels. It will express itself in three different contexts, in three different situations throughout history. There are times, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, where my relationship with you is going to be similar to a relationship of a shepherd and his sheep. There are times where it's going to be similar to a relationship of a shomer and his vines. And there are times where it's going to be like a father-son. But what does that mean? What's different about those three times? Throughout our galuyos, wherever we go in galus, we bring a mikdash ma'at with us. We bring a mishkan and mikdash with us. And the centerpiece, the focal point of whatever mikdash ma'at we make, wherever we are, has to be the Aron and its Torah. Right? That's what the Gemara says. Miyom shecharev beis hamikdash. From the day the beis hamikdash was destroyed, ein lo lakadosh baruch hu ba'olamo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's chelek in this world, our ability to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the house that we make for him is in creating a construct for Torah in that house. If there is a construct for Torah, if there's Dalar Amoshel Halacha, then to the extent that we've created Torah, that we've enhanced Torah, then we've enhanced the presence of Hashras HaShechina. And that's why the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, Afilu Echad Sheyoshev Vosek Patorah, Shechina Shruya Imo. Even one person sitting, learning Torah, you know what happens? Kadosh Baruch Hu joins him. That underscores the point. The Torah is the source of Kedusha. The Torah is the resting place of the Shechina. The Mishkan and the Aron are both in the plural, Va'asu, because it's not just for that generation. It's for every generation. The message of a Mishkan and an Aron being in your midst is going to be in every context, in every situation, whatever the Jews are experiencing. Wherever we go, there's a Mikdash and an Aron. And again, three possible circumstances. Let's describe those three circumstances. First, unfortunately, way too many times, there have been circumstances where the Jews were facing enormous difficulties, great, great challenges. We don't need any reminders that we're different from anybody else, because the Gaim remind us that we're different. We're persecuted. We're forced from exile to exile. Nav and nad ba'aretz. Like sheep being led to graze from one place to the next. Not realizing, not feeling like we have any home. We're just wandering. And at those times we may feel very disconnected from the grandeur of the Mikdash. From the majesty of the Mikdash. We don't understand the connection to the Mikdash. We might feel dejected. Sheep may feel like they're wandering aimlessly. But if they just had a moment to take a step back and look up, you know what they would see? That they're not wandering aimlessly. They're being led by a shepherd. Sheep don't often realize that because they're just following the sheep in front of them. Right? That's what sheep do. But if they would have a moment of perspective, they'd be able to see that they're being led by a shepherd. And that shepherd wards off all potential threats to the flock. So we have to make a dir katane, a mikdash ma'at for our shepherd, because if he's not given space with us, he's not going to be able to protect us when we need protection. That's the sheep-shepherd relationship. But then there's a second relationship. There are some times that are better times for the Jewish people, where we're treated as equals in a foreign land, like we have in Gullus America. We have all the rights and privileges of other citizens. We're successful in business. We're rooted in the ground of the land like vines in a vineyard. We are the most prosperous, like vines are the most precious, although very delicate, but the most precious of fruits that one can grow. We have beautiful homes. We're providing delicious fruit. So we begin to think, you know what? We don't really need the divine protection. There is no enemy. And we forget the lessons of history, how in the blink of an eye, our host country could turn on us in the political arena and the day-to-day social activities. And we forget that a civilized people can become monsters overnight. And while we're intoxicated by the beautiful products of the vineyard, we let our guard down. And we need a shomer who's never going to let his guard down. Asher lo yinam v'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. So we set up booths to house our shomer, and our involvement in Torah will serve as a protection because it will bring our shomer into our midst. That is the second circumstance. But you know what? Even that is not an ideal circumstance for the Jewish people to be in. The ideal circumstance for the Jewish people to be in is not to be in Golus at all. It's to be in our land, it's to be in Eretz Yisrael. And when we are experiencing Geula and dwell in Eretz Yisrael, we no longer need a Mikdash Ma'at at that point. We're going to have a Mikdash. And that Mikdash is where miracles occur on a daily basis. That is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu will, on a continuous basis, be able to show love for his children. When a child has a room in his house reserved for the parent, it shows a certain bond, a certain closeness between the parent and the child. Banim Atem LaHashem Elokeichem. And this is something critical to remember, that Jewish survival throughout all of the ages, as great a miracle as it's been, is a miracle that's been enabled through our creating a space for the Shomer Yisrael. No matter what kind of situation we're in, creating a space for a Shomer Yisrael, and what these parshiyos teach us is that that space for the Shomer Yisrael is created through Torah. All of the other positive Jewish activities that we do, whether it be chesed within our community, whether it be social justice, whether whatever good things Jews tend to be into, they're good and they're mitzvos and they're wonderful, but the sense of Hashra'as HaShchina comes through Torah. The sense of Hashra'as HaShchina, having a Mishkan HaEdus, comes through a Luchos HaEdus. And to the extent that we don't create a home for a Luchos HaEdus, we're not going to be able to have a Mishkan HaEdus. We're not going to have a true Mikdash Ma'at. You know, sometimes I travel to different cities, and you get to see, like, different communities and, like, what their, I guess, M.O. is, you know, like, what their modus operandi is, like, what their purpose for being is, what their goals are. You know, every organization has, like, or every healthy organization has, like, a goal. It has a mission statement. It has something that it wants to be. And Baruch Hashem, there are many, many places, Jewish institutions, shuls, yeshivas, where the number one goal is closeness to the Ribbono Shel through his Torah. They appreciate that the goal is a sense of Hashra'as HaShchina. And how is that achieved? That's achieved through Torah. And unfortunately, there are some places that sort of forget Torah and everything else. They made the tefillah into the ikur, where the activism on behalf of Medinat Yisrael. Wonderful, great thing, we should all do it. But that became, that has become in certain places, the only thing. Like that's the sense of Hashra'as HaShchina. Or anything else. Chesed activities, fantastic, we need to be involved in chesed. We need to do more of it. But that's not it. It is a sense of Hashra'as HaShchina. What we're looking for is a closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam. We can't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, Baruch Hu tells us what it takes to bring him into our lives. And what it takes is Torah. And how do we get there when you guys go out into communities and you're going to enhance communities with your presence and with your ideas and with who you've become? Your success will largely depend on how much of a Torah personality you have become. How much is Torah a major part of your life? You know, you see people who are 10 years out, 20 years out, older than you. And there are people that have made Torah a major part of their lives, and those people are pillars. They're people you build around. They're people that good things happen around. Then there are people that, you know, Torah is not a major part of their lives. So they're never at a shiur. They'll, you know, they show up whenever they happen to show up to davening or whatever. Certainly, they don't care to be on time. So we just had to shift the davening time. I think I told you guys in my shul to 9 o'clock. You know, from 8:30 or 8:45 to make some Kriya Shema, we have to shift to 9 o'clock because of our building. We don't have the flexibility with the space. A long story. So a guy comes over to me and he says, "Oh, finally, 9 o'clock! I've been waiting for this." I'm like, "I've been waiting for you to show up at 9 o'clock." I mean, the kind of people that, you know, okay, I'm here when I'm here, and I'm not there, I'm not there. It's not going to be something that's easy to turn on later in life. Oh, yeah, I'm going to be a Ben Torah. I'm not a Ben Torah when I'm in yeshiva. No, but I'm going to be a Ben Torah when I'm working 12 hours a day, and I have the pressure of paying yeshiva tuitions, and I'm that's when I'm going to be a Ben Torah. It doesn't work like that. I guess it can, but it rarely works like that. We have to develop ourselves into Torah personalities. A Torah personality is someone who learning is not just something that, okay, you know, if the Rebbe talks at me and it's an enjoyable shiur, so then I'll sit back and I'll enjoy. A Torah personality is someone who invests in Seder time to prepare, to make sure that I'm in the sugya. It's not just like, oh, if you talk and I happen to be hearing and it's good and no, I'm invested because this is a sugya that I just put my time into, that I just put my energy into. So I want to hear more about this sugya. That's a Torah personality. So it's very critical that we develop that sense of a Torah personality. And if we make a deer for our roa, we make a sukkah for our shomer, one day we'll be zocha to build a bayis for our father.